ACC Men's Basketball Tournament Day 2 Highlights. Will Ogenen in Minneapolis. I'm Jim Quist in Richmond. Let's get right down to it, Will, and talk about the games that we had today. Miami, Syracuse, Clemson, Duke, Wake, Virginia Tech, and Pitt, Virginia. Pretty much all exciting games. Let's start out with that Miami and Syracuse game.
Yeah, definitely. A pretty nice start to the day with Miami holding off Syracuse 62-57. Miami shot the ball pretty well in the first half. They actually had an 8-point lead going into halftime, but Syracuse kind of clamped down on defense and held Miami to 30% shooting in the second half, which pretty much led them right back into the game. Even though Syracuse didn't shoot the ball very well, they, you know, were very good at the free throw line. They were 12 of 13 for the game, mostly just on the strength of Andrew White, who was 9 of 10 himself. He led the Orange with 22 points. For Miami, Kamari Murphy, 16 points, 10 rebounds, nice double-double effort for him. Davon Reed at 14, Jaquan Newton at 11. Really, it was we thought Miami would win this game, and that's exactly what happened. And now we wait and see what happens to Syracuse.
Interesting. John Gillen had absolutely no points and 3 turnovers for Syracuse at the half, and Miami was leading 36-28. It did kind of go back and forth there. At the 4-minute mark, it was 53-52 Miami, but they made the most of the offensive battle and rebounding to stay ahead of Syracuse, ending up forcing the Orange to foul the Canes at the end there and hope to force some opportunities. Didn't work out. The final, Miami 62-57. Let's go on to our next game, which was Clemson and Duke. That started a little later than was anticipated, just because the first game took a little longer because of all the fouls.
Yeah, but it still ended up being a very good game. Duke won 79-72, and it seemed like Duke had them pretty much at arm's length throughout the game, but Clemson kept coming back and making it interesting. The game was tied at 33 at halftime, but Duke outscored Clemson 46-39 in the second half. And Duke had 3 players with 20 points: Frank Jackson, Luke Kennard, Jason Tatum. They accounted for 60 of Duke's 79 points right there. Grayson Allen struggled, was 0-4 from the field, was teed up at one point. But despite that, they didn't really need him per se. Emil Jefferson also 11 points, 10 rebounds. For Clemson, it was John Blossom game with 19 points and 8 rebounds in what would be the last game of his ACC career. Shelton Mitchell had another strong game with 17 points for Clemson, who will likely be NIT bound after this. But Duke did what they had to do. It wasn't the prettiest game, but they found a way to win and move on.
Let me talk about that technical for just a second, because I've heard all kinds of speculation. People saying, oh, it shouldn't have been called, or where are that? They should have, you know, given him a little more leeway. Here's what I think transpired. First, and this is a very accurate reflection, there's all kinds of salty language used on the court. Not a big deal. It's just the way it is, okay? Sometimes when people slam the ball like that and it comes back into their hands, that's okay as well. What was going on here was that it was the combination. He drew attention to himself, first of all, with the salty language and saying it intensely. Second, by slamming the ball down, he lost control of the ball. And here's where I think the referee called the technical on him. Delay of game. Because any time that you do something to force the ball to go away from the flow of the game, that's where you can get teed up. I think that's what ultimately did it. I think it was just a combination of the 3 things, and the fact that the ball got away and went out of bounds and held up the flow of the game. I think that's why he got teed. I don't think it was anything other than that. And, you know, he drew attention to himself. No big deal. I don't think that people ought to be making a big deal out of it. It's something that happens frequently. I've seen it happen in different levels. And it's all, you know, if the ball gets into your hands, you need to put it someplace, either with a referee or someplace near an opponent, to let them carry on the game. I think that's what happened. Mm-hmm. Anyway, interesting game there. And the final score, 79-72, by the way, it wasn't that far apart up until the last couple of minutes, because Luke Kennard made a couple of clutch jumpers there in the final 2 minutes to help Duke thwart a rally by Clemson. And then, of course, the fouls and whatnot. And it was a lot closer than people would have imagined. 79-72, final on that game. Now, the next game, the early evening game, Wake Forest and Virginia Tech. We knew this was going to be a fascinating game. You made a call on it the other day, and I think you hit it right on the head. It just flip-flopped a little bit on you.
Yeah, if you didn't listen to the podcast from yesterday, I said Wake Forest would beat Virginia Tech and what would be the highest scoring game of the ACC tournament. And, well, I didn't necessarily predict the winner. I did predict that it would be the highest, you know, point scoring games. I don't think we're going to have another score like this the rest of the tournament, with Virginia Tech coming out on top 99-90. They shot 61% in the second half, that being Virginia Tech, or 7-13 from three. They did really well shooting the ball, which I kind of expected what would happen. They shot 51% from the field for the game. Wake Forest also, they've shot 47%. Now, it's still a pretty solid effort from the field. For Virginia Tech, you know, Zach Ledet, 31 points, 15 rebounds, career game for him. They had five players in double figures. Definitely an excellent effort from the Hokies. Meanwhile, for Wake Forest, you know, John Collins fouled out, still had 15 points and 10 rebounds. Dino Mitoglou, 12 points, 13 rebounds. But the most important thing from the takeaway from Wake Forest was that three by Greg McClinton as the clock expired in the first half, where he just kind of lazily just kind of threw it at the basket and it somehow went in.
80 feet.
Mm-hmm.
Unreal shot. And
unbelievable.
It was incredibly accurate. It was a very smooth move. You know, it just beat the buzzer. Final score there, Virginia Tech coming out on top, and it was a very, very tight game. Okay, this is one of those games that if you missed it, I'm sorry. But the final score, Will?
99-90, and we should also add in, too, Virginia Tech actually, their second half, I mentioned, they scored 62 points in the second half.
Amazing. Amazing game. And to wrap things up in the evening for day two, it was Pitt and Virginia. Certainly not what we would have anticipated, I guess, a replay of their Saturday game, because that's, I think that Virginia won that by 23. Is that correct?
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't think we should have anticipated that sort of spread. It was a game. It certainly, I don't think at any point really got to a point where the Cavaliers were too worried about losing it.
Yeah, maybe a little bit in the second half when Pitt cut it to two and you thought, uh-oh, here we go again, Virginia blowing a double-digit lead in the second half again. But yeah, Virginia jumped out right away. Kyle Guy was borderline unconscious in this game. He ended up with 20 points on 7-12 shooting and 4-6 from three-point range, tied a career high. What helped Virginia in the second half was London Ferrantes. He had 15 points for the game, but I think he only 13 of those, I believe, came in the second half. He hit both of his threes, played a lot better in the second half. Ty Jerome, 11 points, 7 rebounds, 4 assists, a great all-around stat line for him. They say they shot 49% from the field. They were 11-22 from three, and remember, they were struggling so much during that four-game losing streak, just shooting the ball in general. And even in the second half, they had a lot of bad luck with some of the shots that you were just rimming out. And even defensively, they were playing well, but Pitt was just, you know, getting the shot no matter what. It was just falling. But for Pitt, we should mention Cam Johnson led them with 20 points. Had a 6-11 shoot of 11 shooting, shot pretty well from that. But you know, Jamel Artis, and you know, was probably his last game, had 18 points. He had another strong game. Michael Young, 14 points on 3-12 shooting. That was a little rough for him, especially 0-6 for 3. But you know, Pitt season is done. Virginia moves on 75-63.
And coming up on Thursday, beginning at noon, Miami takes on North Carolina. At 2, it's Duke and Louisville. At 7, Virginia Tech and Florida State. The final game of the evening, Virginia will face off with Notre Dame at 9 o'clock. Here's something I want to throw in. The NCAA bubble in most to least safe order. Syracuse, USC, Illinois State, Xavier, Wake Forest, Vanderbilt. Here's my thought on that. Wake Forest is in. Syracuse is out. NIT bracketology. Let's just say this is the projected. Number 3, Clemson. Number 4 seed is Georgia Tech. Those two teams are going to get invitations to the NIT. I bet you that Syracuse will as well. I don't think, just based on all the numbers, I'm going to be very surprised if Syracuse gets a bid. But stranger things have happened.
Like last year?
Yes. I'm sticking with Syracuse doesn't get the invite. Wake Forest does. Wake Forest has much better numbers overall. And I'm not convinced, and I don't think the selection committee is going to be convinced, that Syracuse is a team that needs to be in the NCAA 64 based upon all of, you know, their performances on the road. That's a look at basketball from day 2, and we've got plenty more coming up for Thursday. We'll be back with more podcasts. We've got video on the site at accnation.net. That'll be up Thursday morning for you to take a look at, and a whole lot more action to come. We'll be talking a little more about bracketology, the NIT, the NCAA, and as the week progresses, which is doing very quickly, we're going to be talking about a little more for the women as well. This is ACC Men's Basketball Tournament Day 2 Highlights. For Will Ogenen, I'm Jim Quist.
Let's go.